I'd like to begin my message this morning with a prayer, which is a verse from an old hymn in the old language, but it's still a good one. Let's pray. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaves beside the sea. Beyond the sacred page I seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, the living word. Amen. Friends, in today's gospel, we come across the sisters Mary and Martha. Now, the Bible contains quite a few stories about siblings, Cain and Abel, Isaac and Ishmael, Jacob and Esau, Moses and Aaron, and more. And all of these stories are interesting because of the similarities and the differences between the siblings. And the same goes for the sisters in today's story, Mary and Martha. Now, both of them are friends of Jesus. Both of them are excited to have Jesus come into their home and be their guest. And both respond to his presence in their home. But because they're different personalities, they respond in different ways. Martha's way of responding to the presence of Jesus is to be a good hostess. She gets busy preparing a fine meal. She cuts and cooks and stirs and gets ready the best meal she can. And I can identify with that. I like that. I come from a family that did a lot of catering for weddings and things like that. And we always tried to give our guests the best food and the best service that we could. Many of you here, especially you women here, you would place the same high value on hospitality. Now, it's worth noting that where this story comes in the gospel. Luke has placed this story of Mary and Martha immediately after the story of the Good Samaritan. Now, you recall that in the story of the Good Samaritan, there are these three travelers. They come across this man who's been beaten and bashed up. And only one of the three travelers stops and helps him. That's the Samaritan. This Samaritan is a neighbor to this poor guy. And Martha is by nature a good Samaritan. She's a practical Christian. She sees a need, she responds. She gets busy, she does what needs to be done. And I reckon there are a good number of Christians in this church and right around the Brosser here who are like Martha, see a need and respond. They go and do likewise, just as Jesus told them to do. Mary's way of responding to Jesus is different. She sits down at Jesus' feet and listens. She hangs on his words. And like her namesake, who's Jesus' own mother, this Mary stores Jesus' words in her heart too. Now, if Martha is an example of practical Christianity, Mary is an example of what we might call contemplative or worshipful Christianity. But what gets to Martha is what Mary does not do. While she is slaving away in preparation for the meal, her sister's sitting there just listening. And after a while, Martha blows up and she comes and interrupts Jesus. Lord, can't you see what's going on here? Can't you see that I'm left to do all this work by myself? Tell my sister to come and give me a hand. Now, you could say that both sisters were meditating. Mary is meditating on Jesus' teaching. She's receiving his word and storing it in her heart. Martha, too, is meditating. She's meditating on what her sister is not doing. She's fuming about how she's being left to carry all this preparation alone. She's fussing about what might happen to her reputation as a good hostess. And she's probably also thinking, why is Mary sitting there with the men? What will the neighbours say when they hear this? Women just don't do that. Now, how does Jesus respond to Martha's outburst? Note that he doesn't tell her off. There's nothing wrong with Martha's practical response. It's good. It's great, in fact. But he does defend Mary against her sister's attack. He says, Martha, Martha, only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. What is better than preparing food for Jesus? It is to dine on the food that Jesus provides. What Martha fails to see is that she is not the main host here. It is Jesus. He is feeding his followers on the word of God and on the grace of God. And being so busy meant that Martha is missing out on what Mary is determined to get. Martha is missing out on being with Jesus. She's missing out on hearing the gospel from Jesus' own lips. She's missing out on being fed and filled with the love and grace of God. All of us who are followers of Jesus need to be fed with and filled with God's love again and again and again. We need to regularly hear the old, old story. The story of how God came to live as one of us, how he stood in our shoes, how he walked the pathway of life, how he shared our sorrows and our griefs, and how he willingly died in our place to bring us forgiveness of sins, and how he rose again to be our King and our Good Shepherd. We need to regularly feed on the meal Jesus gave us, the meal which provides us with his real presence and the assurance that we are forgiven, that we are part of the family, that we are welcome at his table. And if we don't receive that sufficiently, we will likely become like Martha, how she was on this occasion, become self-centered and cross and critical of other people. When I was young, you'd sometimes hear the saying, don't get the cart before the horse. If you want to get a job done, you need both a horse and a cart. But make sure you get them in the right order. Horse first, cart second. The horse provides the power to pull the cart. Mary's problem is she's got the cart before the horse. She's got her priorities wrong. She's put her service to the Lord ahead of the Lord's service to her. And that's why she got so upset, and that's why she blew up. Now, most of us are not exactly like Mary or exactly like Martha. We're a mixture of them, mixture of both. And I confess that there have been times in my life when I was too much like Martha, when I got the cart before the horse, when I focused too much on what I was doing for God and the people of God, and not enough on what God had done for me and was still doing for me. Maybe some of you have been like that too. How does Martha respond to Jesus' gentle rebuke? Luke doesn't tell us. But it's worth wondering about. And I like to think that what happened next was this. When the Lord told Martha that Mary had made the better choice, Martha said, okay, the food can wait then. I'll just sit down with my sister and listen. And she did. She sat right down with Mary and listened until Jesus had finished his teaching. Then Martha got up and Mary got up. And maybe Jesus and some of the other disciples got up and they all pitched in. And in a short time, they had a wonderful feast prepared. And it was all done with no stress and lots of love and laughter. I'm sure you've all heard the story of the famous nun Mother Teresa, who's been declared a saint by the Catholic Church. And people often speak about the great service that Mother Teresa did for the poor and the dying in Calcutta. What they tend to overlook is that every morning at 4 a.m., Mother Teresa attended Mass. Before she began her service to the poor and dying, she first received the service of Christ. And she said that this service of Christ was what gave her and her sisters the strength to joyfully serve sick and dying people all through the long, hot Calcutta days. Mother Teresa got her priorities right. She got the horse before the cart. There are many needs in the church and in the wider community. And like Martha, you and I can easily get caught up doing many good things. Nothing wrong with that. But we need to be careful. The doing good things does not distract us from or even replace the most important thing. Keep in mind the words of Jesus, only one thing is really needed. And that one thing is to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him and let him serve you again and again with his meal of love and his word of mercy and grace and peace. It's the service Jesus gives you that will empower you to go on cheerfully and joyfully serving others. Amen.